Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Show. That song right there is by Clap Riot. Originally, there was a wardrobe manufacturer who used it as his theme song for his advertisements, except he changed the words at the end there, and it's by my shelf. Okay, I'm sorry, that's a terrible joke to start off the show with. Anyway, being a truther, and I want to give out some deep philosophy today, ladies and gentlemen. So in the Lindsay Williams sense of the word, you know, you've got to get your pencil and paper ready. Okay, damage, okay, and loss, right? These are two things that you should normally be protected against under common law, right? And if your property gets damaged, or somebody causes loss, you know, whether that be monetary, property, or life, or what have you, you can get arrested. You can be put in jail. You can have your liberty and your property taken off you as a proceeds of crime and what have you, right? But emotionally speaking, physically speaking, to a truther, that kind of stuff happens more on a more psychological level, okay? Namely, I'm sure all of you, before becoming a truther, well, most of you anyway, had a career of some sort, probably one that you were really good at. And then you realize that I've been working at this my entire life, and I'm really good at it. And then you realize that it's all a lie. That no matter how good you are at it, you're still doing the wrong thing. And so you have to start from scratch. That sucks. It really does. I have no comprehension, and a lot of normal people have no comprehension whatsoever of literally starting from scratch again. I mean, it's like getting amnesia and having to learn how to spell, learn how to talk, learn how to interpret, learn the meanings of words again. Everything has to restart, and that's really traumatic. Okay, because it's caused you loss, a large amount of loss. You've lost your life, literally. When you become a truther, when you realize that the world isn't all sunshine and fairy tales, you lose everything that you are, everything that you once identified with. no longer exists. That's really hard. Most people can't handle it. And a lot of people don't reach out as a result. Okay? This is the thing. When you're staying connected in a world that no longer suits you, you know, you're still paying your rent, you're still paying your gas, you're still going to your job or whatever, even though you know it's all a lie, it grinds on you. And it'll keep grinding on you until you're out of that situation. Many people will keep going and going and going and going, denying that they hate their job, denying that they hate their life, denying. Denial is a really big river to cross, and it's full of denial crocodiles who are going to snap you and drag you down to the bottom to rot. That's what we have to deal with. It's terrifying. You're going across uncharted territory. Doesn't matter how long you've been alive, if you woke up 16 years old or if you woke up at 50 years old, you still got the rest of your life ahead of you trying to go back to where you began. You can't win. We're all damaged goods in this movement. All of us. Most of us are emotional. I include myself in that. And the reason why that is because we actually feel. We don't have that denial syndrome anymore. And when you are no longer in denial, you take ownership. Ownership is seen in some ideologies as a bad thing. How can owning yourself, okay, taking responsibility for oneself, one's actions, and the consequences of those actions and what have you, how can taking ownership of those be a bad thing? Well, the answer is it actually can't. So who is it that's trying to teach us all that ownership is a bad thing? That communal, in other words, collective society is a better idea. It's the new world order, isn't it? They want us to stop taking responsibility for our own stuff. They want us to blame everybody else. They want us to have depression and anxiety and things like that eating ourselves away all day long, don't they? So if we allow ourselves to do that, we're fulfilling the enemy agenda, every sense of the word. That's why life is a hell of a lot harder for a truther than it is for an ordinary person. Ordinary people, as far as I've met in my life, are all exactly the same. Good-natured and very naive. Okay? And when you become a truther, your naivety sort of wanes away, at least towards the establishment side of things that you're already aware of. But what you don't recognize is that in the transition, when you're going through that wormhole of truth, you are unwittingly bringing all that baggage through the rest of your life through that portal with you to the other side. That's why a lot of truthers, being emotional can be a good thing as well as a bad thing, okay? Anger is an emotion. Love is an emotion. Okay? And if somebody shows you either one of those, you have two different, very different reactions, don't you? Does that mean that you have to control all emotions or purge them? No. It just means you've got to be able to learn how to react in any given situations. Like, and this is a learning process as well. I'm saying I got it all figured out. Mate, anybody who says he's got it all figured out, obviously I ain't figured out nothing. I mean, come on, seriously. Anybody who wants to come in here, like a guidance counsellors are a classic one of this. Guidance counsellors are the worst lives whatsoever, you know, they take no responsibility for their own actions, live in abject poverty or whatever. And yet they think they can solve everybody else's problems. And sure enough, they can solve other people's problems, but only by that person realizing that I don't really want to be in front of a guidance counselor trying to solve my problems because he's just going to mess it up. I might as well solve it myself. That's what happened to me. My mum sent me to guidance counselors when I was a young lad, and I was a real violent kid and that kind of stuff. And I realized that this guy, he wasn't really helping me at all. He was just sitting there just talking and stuff. He wasn't doing anything for me. So if I wanted to stop costing my mother money and stop, you know, having to take time off of school and getting strange looks from my other pupils in class and everything like that, I just had to stop being violent, didn't I? And I did, for the most part. And that's what happens. The only use a counselor is to people is to help them realize just how powerful they themselves are at getting their own problems solved. You don't need anybody else to solve your problems. Okay? Trust me, you don't. Most of the problems that we have are built up in our own minds, and we can deconstruct them and solve them in our own minds as well, the very thing that created them. Just like the Mount Doom in Mordor, the one place where the ring was forged is the one place that can be destroyed. And believe me, the ring of power is right inside your own mind. And it can and does corrupt you, hurt you, send its armies against you, armies of darkness and what have you, while you're all alone by yourself. You know what I'm talking about? All of that stuff. It really is real and quite traumatic, particularly for truthers, because there's no escape from it. There really isn't. Slave goes to work. He doesn't like his job, but when he comes home, he thinks he's free. Okay? Truther goes to work. He knows he's a slave in his job, and he knows when he comes home, he's still a slave. There's nowhere to retreat to. There's nothing that's not affected by the conspiracy. You see it everywhere. How can you take a holiday from that? I mean, let's take me for instance. If I were to take a holiday and go driving up the country somewhere to go see my sister on her farm or something like that, while I'm paying for the petrol, I'll be thinking about how those evil Rockefeller robber barons who started up US Standard Oil 100 years ago based upon money stolen from entire Western towns through snake oil sales, quite literally through snake oil sales. Big Bill Rockefeller, the Primarch of the Rockefeller Foundation, was a traveling snake oil salesman. And he franchised it. And he got a whole bunch of other scammers to scam entire towns and states at a time. And then he took all that money and he put it into oil. And he's been as anti-competitive and fraudulent ever since. Okay? That's what I think about just when I'm pumping my gas. That's one thing that everybody does in the ordinary day that they don't even think twice about. For a truther, that's traumatic. Because it's inescapable. It's everywhere. Even when you're driving along the road. You see the speed cameras. And you think about how much of an infringement of your liberties and how much of an arbitrary punishment mechanism that is to make people slow down as opposed to people being personally responsible. So you take away their ability to be responsible by punishing them when they are. Okay? That's the thing. You can drive over the speed limit and still be safe. And yet these people want everybody to live in a world where nobody is in possibility of risk. It's called life. If there wasn't death as well, then it would imply that life had no risk. There is death. There is life. There is risk. Trust me. Take risk. I'd much rather have the risk than no personal responsibility and no freedom. Okay? And some people are very afraid about even the implications of wanting to wake up in the first place. And I'll admit, when I first found out that 9/11 was an inside job, that my government was corrupt, that I was on a list somewhere to be exterminated along with 90% of the rest of the population, that everything I was seeing in the supermarkets was a specifically well-designed biological warfare device designed to kill me and anybody else who would be foolish enough to eat it without reading the labels and knowing what those numbers on the back of it mean from the artificial flavors. I cried, man. I wept. A lot. And I still do sometimes today. Because there's too much darkness in this world for you to contain it. You have to let it out. Sometimes you will understand. And this is usually when you're feeling a bit ill, when you're feeling really emotionally upset, when you're having anger fits or anything like that. Just remember what happens when you used to go to your job and everything like that. You had holidays, didn't you, with which to recharge your batteries and get it away from it all. The only way that a truther can take a holiday is if you cut yourself off completely from information streams. Turn off the internet. No Skype. No Facebook. No TV. No radio. No nothing. Try it for a week. If you're feeling like crap, really feeling like crap, take a week off of being a truther. Trust me, this is the hardest job in the world, not because it's actually a hard job, because we forget that it's a job. Being a patriot is a duty, not an option. You're supposed to do it. But with all duties, there are rest breaks, there are holidays, there's pay. All of those things no longer exist. You don't get paid for doing this. You don't get told when to take time off. You have to figure out what's best for yourself. You have to read your own body, read your own mind. Self-analysis. It's extremely important. That way you don't wind up flying off the handle one day and doing something you regret. Many people have done so. You know, I remember one time, my pregnant sister was in the kitchen next to me. We were at a family gathering kind of thing. And she's making herself some white bread with margarine on it, and I just told her, you know that white bread's got what's it called, bleach. They bleached the flour on that. She said to me, "I was perfectly happy living in my own cushioned bubble of ignorance. That was so offensive to me that I spent all this like stuff."
To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, "Give me a dessert, give me a dessert, give me a dessert. Have your dessert, you prick, give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor." And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. You want to know what it's
Welcome
like,
back, ladies and gentlemen,
you can experience
the
going to New Zealand.
Eastwood show, very a simple. Show that is like a 2 hour a day experience of the New Zealand lifestyle, namely not really caring about anything, drugging yourself, and laughing about stuff that's just not funny with incredibly lame puns. It's the Vinnie Eastwood show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Now, about a month ago, I was in extreme financial dire straits and needed a bailout, essentially, because, you know, as far as I was figuring it out, I'm not entirely dissimilar from the big banks. You know, I'm 6'4", I'm too big to fail. And sure enough, people were bailing me out a little bit. We need 200 subscribers, and I was just trying to think about the numbers last night, and that's like 200 bucks a week, 250 bucks a week, or something like that, New Zealand dollars. Like, 200 subscribers a month for $5 a month, right, is what I need in order to live in abject poverty. Like, basically, I'm just begging for people to let me live in abject poverty while I keep working really hard every day. That's all I'm asking for. And you don't have to, okay? You don't have to donate anything, okay? I'm doing it any fracking way. Trust me. I haven't needed your help yet, but I do need it. But I'd really, really like it. I'll keep doing what I'm doing. That's my promise. But if you want me to see me do more, or guarantee me to keep doing what I'm doing for much longer periods of time and what have you, then go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, subscribe for $5 a month. Last night, I talked to a listener of mine who is living in Mexico. She left the United States. She's getting a lot older now. And, you know, conversation for... I'm going to run the clock here. I think it was for about an hour and 45 minutes. Just having a chat, okay? I can talk very well and what have you. This last week, other than yesterday, just after the shows, I've just been so totally wiped out, been unable to communicate with anybody. I've got so many unanswered emails and all of this kind of stuff. Just feeling really exhausted because I'm approaching burnout point. Okay, I understand this though, and I'm planning to take some time off. So what I'm going to do is, also last time I took some time off, what happened was a lot of people were really, really kind of like, oh, where did Vinny go? I don't even know, my daily dose of the lighter side of genocide. Oh, okay. But I just realized, man, people are almost dependent on me. Like I'm the marijuana of the truth movement. You know, people need me to relax. And, it's quite classic, right? And, what I want to do. And this is probably my big scheme and all that kind of stuff. Because I've got so many friends in the truth movement now, just because, well, basically I don't screw anybody over or lie or manipulate them or anything like that. I'm one of the real truthers. There's not too many of us. Believe me when I tell you. In terms of people in the truth movement who are absolutely 100% genuine, like 100%. To the point where they actually disadvantage themselves because they don't want to compromise principles and things like that. There are very, very few, and fewer still remain alive today, because what happens when you don't compromise, you don't get very far all of the time. But anyway, the real honest element of the truth movement are people that I get along with incredibly well. They love me. I love them. We both love the truth. And a lot of them are incidentally radio show hosts and guests that we have on the radio. So I'm going to organize some hosts for y'all, people who've been on the show before, who are really cool cats, who can talk about really interesting stuff, who are perhaps polite and won't insult the guests and what have you. And, also, some guests for them to interview. Last time I did this, I think I organized 2 weeks. Okay, so it's 10 shows. Now, this is a measure of my relationship with people in the truth movement. 10 shows, that's 20 hours of airtime. That means I needed about that many people to be on there, either being interviewed or doing the interviewing, guests and radio show hosts, 10 shows, 20 hours. How long did that take me to organize? It took me an afternoon. And that's, like, insane by mainstream talk radio standards. And it's simply because of this. Save time where you can and build relationships as strong as you can, as fast as you can, and people will show up for you, okay? It's just that thing. The only reason why I'm capable of doing that is because I've done so much for other people that they either A, enjoy the hell out of being on the show, or B, might maybe feel obligated. I don't know. I don't care, because they could say no if they want, but it's still really easy for me to bring people onto the show as guests or to organize people to replace me if necessary. Okay, doesn't mean that I won't be back or anything like that. It's just, you know, I'm human. I need time to recharge the batteries, and I'll give you some varied stuff to listen to in the meantime. Okay, And that's just for the listeners' sake, mostly, because, hey, you guys are getting up every day in New Zealand. I mean, some of you are listening to me during work hours, you naughty people. You naughty, naughty people. And in fact, I've gotten so many messages from people over these last 2 years, from people who are listening to me during work, or they're turning it up in front of their family members, or they've got mates round or something like that, and they all sit in the lounge and have a laugh or whatever. You know, just this show is a lot of fun, and it should be a communal activity. You know, have people around, be with people. Come on, man. It's a lot more fun when you're not the only one, don't you think? And that's what's really cool about the truth movement as well, is because despite the fact that we're told left, right, and center, you're alone, you're a useless, you're scum, blah, 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 it's not true. It's not true in the least. You're not alone in any way, shape, or form ever. You're always surrounded by people, okay? Dig this. It's like, Well, you know what? I think this might be a bad example in light of recent events. But Ron Paul, I remember I was listening to Ron Paul Revolution Radio that we had here on American Freedom Radio not too long ago. I think it was in the time slot before mine, hosted by Roxy Lopez, who has a show after mine on Mondays and Fridays, I think, and Brocky. And they were talking about this this vote that they did for Ron Paul this one time. And what was? Oh yeah, there were, I think there were like 15 people in the room, or something like that. And it was I can't remember what exactly the story was. But here's the point of the story: almost everybody in that room voted for Ron Paul, and they all had thought that everybody else was going to vote either mainstream like a Republican or mainstream Democrat, and they were surprised that they were surrounded by patriots and they never knew it. Right? That's actually the reality that we live in every day, ladies and gentlemen. You are, in fact, surrounded by truthers at all times, but you just don't know it. I mean, do truthers walk around with a big tattoo on their forehead that says, "I'm a truther"? Hell no. Not like like a skinhead, for instance, will have a big swastika on his forehead or on his arm or tattoos or something of that nature. Truthers don't do that. They don't. They're not the kind of people that the average person can just suss out just by looking at. Okay? Some of us wear 9/11 as an inside job, stickers on our cars and everything like that, but our clothes don't have that. Maybe we'll wear a T-shirt or something like that. And when we do wear those T-shirts, we are an instant just boom. We're like a beacon. And other truthers can see us. It's like we're on display. Okay, but because we're all such polite people as well, even when we see other people and that kind of stuff, we don't go up to them and start a conversation. If we hear interesting conversations around us, sometimes we'll actually think, you know what, these guys are truthers. I'm going to go up and talk to them. As one of my listeners, Tim, was just enlightening me in the chat box, in the chat room there, he found a couple of truthers having a conversation in a restaurant or something like that and went up and told them about the Vinnie Eastwood show. You can tell people are truthers when they're talking about media lies and manipulation, can't you? It's pretty straightforward. And that's the thing. Truthers don't have a look to them. We have a theme to us. That means you have to, instead of interpreting who we are by just having a quick glance, you actually have to listen to what we have to say. That's unlike anybody else. I don't know any other social group that's really like that, where you indeed cannot figure out who that person is or what their beliefs are or anything like that without actually listening to them for long periods of times. It's because we're blooming complex creatures, us truthers. We all have our own stories. We all have our own ideas. We all have our own libraries of information that we've consumed. And what I found is interesting is when two truthers get together, I've never met anybody who doesn't know something that I don't know. Or wait, hold on a second. Maybe I said that wrong. they always know something that I don't, and I always know something that they don't. This is something very interesting, because when you're talking with people from mainstream political parties, as I have done many times, they never, ever teach me something I don't already know. That's what irritates me about mainstream politics, is they ain't learning anything. They ain't interested. They don't care. They don't want to know. Truthers do. Truthers want to research. Truthers want to read. Truthers want to listen. Truthers want to participate. Truthers want to care. That is the best part about being a truther, is that you know that no other group is like that. And more to the point, you can't even define people inside the truth movement either. Okay? Because each and every individual in the truth movement is very, very, very different to every single other one. You'll have 9/11 truthers. You'll have David Wilcock followers, David Icke followers, or what have you. But each and every single one of those people is very, very different. Can't put them in a box. I can't be put in a box. Somebody can try. I mean, basically, the only way anybody's ever going to really put me in the box is if they shoot me and lower me and lower me 6 foot on the ground in one. Okay? I'll be put in a box when I'm dead. I don't care. It's not my concern to make people comfortable with who I really am. If they really want to know, they can always ask. And I'll be more than willing to tell them. You know, I don't keep things overly secret or anything like that. I'm pretty open. If somebody wants to ask me an honest question or anything like that, hey, I'll answer you as honestly as I can. Sometimes I don't know how to, the answers. And that's good. Not knowing answers is a brilliant, brilliant state of being. Because it means you don't have to feel inadequate. Ironically enough, if you don't have all the answers, we feel comfortable with that fact. You don't have to feel worried, do you? Just be relaxed, comfortable, and understand that there are a lot of things that are outside of your control that you can't do anything about. Let it go. Whatever's happened to you, if you're listening to the show right now, I'm talking directly to you, I'm talking to your heart. Whatever's happened to you in your life, I don't care if your father's hit you, my father hit me. I don't care if you got teased at school, I got teased at school. I don't care if you got arrested by corrupt cops, I got arrested by corrupt cops. I don't care if you got shafted by lawyers, I got shafted by lawyers. I don't care if your medical doctors lied to you, medical doctors lied to me. I don't care if you've been assaulted by police for absolutely no reason while you're trying to cover protests, it's happened to me. I don't care if you've been had 10 grand worth of stuff stolen off you by your flatmates who you thought you could trust. It's happened to me. I don't care if you got ignored by your father for 17 years. It's happened to me. Okay? Whatever your deal is, whatever has happened to you, you're still alive. You're still alive. And there is something very, very fortunate about that fact. You can still do something. It doesn't matter what has happened to you. Doesn't matter what's happened to any of us. All those traumas and all those bad things are simply the building blocks that makes you you. You take away any of those building blocks, you would be an incomplete person. Know now, as I'm telling it to you, you are a complete person. You are not missing anything. You are whole. And you are a good person. And love your brothers. Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. As long as you take a little bit of personal responsibility and realize your true worth and power. The call-in number is 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. And we'll be right back after the break at the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Please don't desert me. No one's gonna take me alive. of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I also want to plug GorillaMedia.co.nz, .co.nz for those of you who are American, don't know the proper pronunciation of the word Zed. In fact, there was a New Zealand band called Zed as well, and they had to spell it Zed to make sure that when they went to the United States, people didn't call them Z. but anyway, what was I going to talk about? It's coming. It was there somewhere. Here we go. There's the question of the drive. Any paying jobs for truth seekers? Well, I'll tell you what. If you are a truth seeker and you want to get a job being paid for telling the truth, you have to make that job for yourself. Okay, that's it. Nobody's going to hire you. And that's as far as I've seen, anyway. I mean, there's no way, basically. Like, this is a truth industry. And it's unlike any other industry on Earth, okay? When you're making deals, when you're making words with people and what have you, your word and your handshake used to, back in the day, be enough for a deal. Today in modern business, that's not how it works. Okay? You're going to have all these agreements and conditions, guarantees, and so on and so forth. None of that stuff actually matters to truth is on the whole. Okay? Unless, of course, they're bringing that baggage from their old non-truther career into this truther career. Doesn't work. You know, like I said, you have to start from scratch. Business in the truth movement doesn't work like business in the other world, the other conspiracy denial world. Okay? Truth in the truth movement doesn't work the same as it does in the business world. In the business world, if you tell the truth, it destroys your deals. In the truth movement, if you withhold the truth, it destroys your deals. Okay? Things like that. Everything in this movement is the opposite. Okay? So, for example, in the real world, if you're going out there, you're looking for a job, somebody to employ you, okay, what's the opposite of that? You create a job out of nothing and employ yourself. Okay? That's what I did. I mean, I was incredibly lucky, and very few people were in my privileged position to have a girlfriend who really, really, really loves me to the point of actually, it's sickening. You know, we sickeningly love each other. That's how bad it is. And so for 4 years, she's basically been supporting my broke ass while I've been building the radio audience, going out there, going to the protests, ambushing the Prime Sinister and all of these other politicos and what have you. Man, it's been a tough ride. And I'm still broke as a mofo. A lot less broke, maybe. You know, like I'm capable of finding something to munch on and what have you nowadays. I don't have to worry as much as I did about where my next meal is coming from. But it's still incredibly stressful. There's still never enough. Okay, cyclical consumption and what's his face? Sigmund Freud's nephew. Edward Bernays, the founder of propaganda and cyclical consumption, get the stuff that you don't need and put it right on a pedestal as the stuff that you want. And then eventually, once you get all that stuff that you think that you want, or that you think that you need, well, in actual fact, it's just a want, you think that'll satisfy you once you get... Nah, won't satisfy you. And that's the thing. When you get to different points of money, and I've seen this happen to lots of different people, basically, the more money you're earning, the more money you spend, because you've got the capacity to spend more. A lot of people don't save these days. They're not frugal or anything like that. Me, I might actually get bitten by that same bug or anything like that. Like, I haven't gotten new clothes in a number of years that weren't hand-me-downs from my good friend's Vuppy Kupinger from Radio Wātea. She gave me all of her son's old clothes and things like that for me to wear my shoes. They were bought at like number one shoe warehouse, like in a two-for-one deal. My girlfriend paid for those for me. Everything I'm wearing, every bit of equipment that I'm using, everything that I'm doing it's because of everybody else. You know? I'm trapped. I've trapped myself in this position where I need, absolutely need, and have the entire time everybody else to be behind me in order for me to just keep on an even keel. That makes me incredibly dependent, not independent, not responsible. I'm incapable of generating my own income. And I've been doing this for 4 years. And if you have a look at anybody in the truth movement in New Zealand, you'd conclude that I'm number one. And I can't support myself. Okay? The other person who I point maybe at number two is Jonathan Eisen and his lovely wife, Catherine Smith. They run Uncensored and the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. They have advertisements and all that kind of stuff. They're still broke as well. All of us in the truth movement are broke. That's what we do. We live just to tell the truth. And that's all we want. As long as I have air in my lungs, I will keep talking through this microphone to you. Okay? And stuff's really hard. It's hard for everybody. Anybody who denies that stuff is hard obviously hasn't been living. Okay? Or hasn't been challenging themselves enough. If you think stuff's easy at the moment, if life's actually that easy going and whatever, why don't you go and do something that scares you? Why don't you call into a mainstream talk radio show when they're taking callers and say 9/11 was an inside job? Anything. Knowing full well that these people will make fun of you and abuse you. And you're just doing it to be out there. Because I know that when I'm driving around, And I've got a crappy, you know, when you import cars from Japan and what have you, like I'm driving around in my grandma's old car. She died like 10 years or something ago. And I wound up getting a car through my mum when she got a new one for herself. So it's a bit old, it's a bit rusty or whatever, but the radio band doesn't work properly, you know, like it's way too down low on the scale, so I can't get the majority of the radio stations, but I can still get some of the talk radio stations, right? And dig this, whenever somebody calls up and they say the words One World Order or New World Order or 9/11 was an inside job or there's corruption in the government or anything like that, I can hear in that voice that's a truther speaking, and it makes me, as a truther listening in, smile. It makes me happy. It makes me feel more encouraged. That's what happens. If you're a truther, please call into your radio stations. Please say 9/11 was an inside job. If for no other reason, then every single truther who'd be listening to you at that particular moment will all together go, yeah, there's a truther who called in. Might inspire them to do it. It's the easiest way to inspire people is to do something inspirational. It's pretty straightforward, I would have thought. And these radio show hosts that you get onto, here's the great way to manipulate them. Compliments. What you do is the first thing that they say to you or welcome you to the show or anything, what you do is you say, I love your show. You're so intelligent. You're so brilliant. You're so wonderful. And you're very pretty too. And you do it, and make sure when you're saying it, say it while you've got a big, big smile on your face. Even if you had to fake that smile, people can actually hear a smile coming out of your mouth. As I'm talking about a smiling right now, when I'm not talking about a smile right now. You see what I'm saying? You understand the difference in the tone of voice? Okay? One's a lot happier and a lot easier to listen to, and one's kind of depressing and sounds like somebody who's locked themselves away in their parents' basement for far too long and has cigarette stains on their fingers because they've been typing all night long smoking, you know? There's the two differences, man. Pay that radio show host a compliment before you start talking about your conspiracy stuff, and they will let you keep talking because you've just massaged their ego, and they're going to hang on to your every word, hoping that you give them another ego massage again. Okay, manipulation can be used against manipulators. You simply have to be better than them at it. Okay, and understand that if you're calling in for radio for the first time, you're going to be caught off guard. I mean, mate, nobody became an Olympic athlete the first day they learned how to walk as a baby, did they? It's not possible. Don't put too high a bar on yourself, and don't stop yourself from doing it either. Just go frack it. I've got a spare 15 minutes right now. Instead of just listening to the radio, I might as well listen to the radio while I'm on hold with them and say one or two words for them before they hang up on me. What have I actually really got to lose at the end of the day? You got nothing to lose, everything to gain, so just do it and get out of your own way, because you're going to inspire a heck of a lot of the truthers if you do, okay? Confidence, ladies and gentlemen. Together, we can do it. Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and hour number two is coming up next, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to call in, some truther counseling time, how about that, okay? You can tell me your problems, ask me any questions you want, and I'll answer them to the best of my abilities, which should be relatively shocking, but I'll, at the very least, we might be able to have a few cackles, a few laughs, and tell me about yourself, and anything you want, please. Just call on in. You ain't got anything to lose. And I promise I'll be real nice to you, because I'm pretty nice to pretty much everybody that comes on this show who ain't a douchebag. I'm pretty sure if you're already listening and you even conceive of calling in or have called in before, you're certainly not a douchebag. And thank you very much. We'll be right back. Just a few moments, folks. Fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Praise, ladies and gentlemen. Bow down and give praise to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Romeros who run that puppy. Okay? Because dig this. Did anybody else listen to Christopher Green before listening to my show today? I hope you did, because he's a fine radio show host. He violates FCC regulations, which I enjoy, and he is exactly who he says he is. He delivers exactly what he says he will deliver. He's hard hitting and in your face. He's as serious as a nosebleed and as hard hitting as a wet fish slap to the face. Okay, and that's basically how we roll here at American Freedom Radio. And that's not a reference to Cass Leach's show, although he does roll very well, as far as I've been informed. And, yeah, basically, there's a flavor here for everybody. You ever go to the ice cream parlor? You know you like ice cream, but you're wondering, you know what? There's so many different flavors and everything like that. I wish I could had enough, let's say I had enough room in my stomach to eat it all. You know, you can't have every single flavor, right? But of course, you can have little tastes of each, and you figure out which one you really want at the end of the day. And that's what I recommend people do. You can either A1, listen live through like what? A dozen hours of programming at American Freedom Radio any given day. Every show you listen to is pretty awesome, right? Apart from one. And the other option is you just go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com archive section, and they got archives for every single show right there. Listen to one show, latest episode, or just scroll down and see if there's a guest on there that they've had on that you like, or something of that nature. Take a sampling. I highly recommend this. Kevin Barrett, Truth Brigade, not Truth Brigade, Truth Jihad, very, very good. Journeys with Christy Aphrodite after my show most days, not a bad program. And Casper Leach, Time for Him, he's got a real wicked sense of humor, okay? So if you are a hardcore stoner and you want to, and just remember, there's nothing bad about being a hardcore stoner, because as far as I know, that's about between 10% and 20% of the population. And if hardcore stoners were anything bad or anything lazy, society would have collapsed already, don't you think? You know, everybody should listen to Casper Leech at least once, especially even if you don't smoke, because you realise that, hey, it's quite a lot of fun. Oh, and Truth of Girls. All right, Sonia's lovely, very, very lovely. Good insight, and she does good videos too. One that I liked in particular, Sonia's videos, was New World Order Supermarket. Oh, God, going shopping in a supermarket for a truth of sucks, bro. Just trying to find something that won't kill you that's manufactured by the Rockefeller Foundation or something. It's quite difficult. Okay, here's some of this stuff. Oh, you can't have that. It's got MSG in it. Monosodium poisonate. Every single thing in a supermarket is poisonous these days, isn't it? Just like every single thing on American Freedom Radio is pretty awesome. Like, we got some old episodes of the Jack Blood Show, man. Jack Blood. Oh, my God. I remember the first time I heard him, I think it was a day before I came on his show, before I was launching this show on American Freedom Radio 2 years ago, and he just blew me away with his talent, his humor, and his candor, his general knowledge, his experience in the truth movement, things like that. Really good show. And if you want to listen to shows overseas as well, this is something that I do. I don't think anybody else on any other network does this, is actually promote other networks, okay? And maybe I'll be disciplined for this. No, I won't. But there's some good shows on other networks as well. So there's some guys in the UK, TNS Radio, Vincent over there who runs TNS Radio. He's a dyed-in-the-wool truther, man, and he runs a very fascinating and incredibly in-depth radio network. Like, sometimes it's truth content seems a little bit like infotainment. Sometimes if you're listening to TNS radio, you know, that first impression you get when you first became a truther sort of thing, it totally blows your mind, and you feel like you're smarter all of a sudden because you know a heck of a lot of stuff that you didn't know already. That's kind of what happens when you listen to Vincent sometimes. He's quite spectacular at TNS Radio over there. And Red Ice Radio, Heinrich Palmgren, I think is how you pronounce it probably. I'm not sure if there's the k in it, but anyway, redicecreations.com. Very, very extensive list of amazing guests, whistleblowers, etc. And speaking of whistleblowers, Kerry Cassidy, Project Camelot. Okay, if you want to talk about the real fringe science, the real fringe research, and something that's so far on the fringe that it possibly wouldn't even cut the mustard as a haircut at a rock concert. Kind of fringe research, you know, like, whoa. Kerry Cassidy, Project Camelot, and Bill Ryan as well from Project Avalon. Those two people have incredible, incredible access to people. And I've tried to get access to some of the guests as well. I just can't. They're too busy. Too busy, man. And that's the thing. And another item of business on the agenda today is the New Zealand truthers and radio stations. Now, if as far as I know, there's only a couple, okay? Let me see, Ifinity FM, okay, the Ifinity radio network. It's like Infinity without the N, so ifinity.co.nz, I think, or Ifinity FM. Anyway, you can Google it. They're down in the South Island, Invercargill and what have you. And it's made by a guy named Ozzie Selwyn. And he started that radio station in his garage, okay, with a couple of mates, just a crappy computer and a mixer and a mic. That was all they had. That was all they needed. That's how I started. In fact, I started off with even less All I had was a camera and a computer. I didn't even have a microphone at that point. I had to actually have somebody loan me a headset that was half broken in order to start doing the show. You don't need much to start. Okay? And if you want better stuff, just keep working. Just keep working, man. And eventually, your stuff will get better and the stuff will come to you. You just got to show that you're persevering. And that's what Ozzy did. He's got now, I think, half a dozen radio stations under his belt, licensing fees paid. He's got deals with youth groups, local businesses, naturopaths, herbalists, health shops, all sorts of stuff, okay? All over the place. Being an industrious person and just going, you know what? I don't care if these people are going to block me in every way. I don't care if they don't want to hear about the truth. I don't care if they want to hear crappy music or anything like that. I'm going to play some good music that I like, and I'm going to talk about some truth that I like. And you know what happens? People get out of your way because you realize that, hey, they've got a heck of a lot more going for them than I do, and it's going to cost me to oppose them now. Before you know it, he's got a half a dozen radio stations down there in the South Island kicking it, rocking it, and playing the Vinnie Eastwood show on the nights, okay? Midnight till 2 a.m. If you're a late-night truther and you want to listen to some good stuff down the South Island, there's your place for it, man. And also, another thing, I was listening to Rush FM. This is in Hamilton. For Andrew listening, if you're listening in from Hamilton live right now, you'll probably like this. Rushfm.co.nz, okay? Now, Roy Harlow, who runs the show down there, is the ultimate salt of the earth. You know those kind of incredibly creative, talented inventors who are American, who kind of get the idea earlier on, like back in the 70s, that America's going down and going down hard, and he doesn't want to be another Nikola Tesla who just winds up dying, winds up having his inventions ripped off him and taken away and whatever. He moved here in the 70s. And he's an incredible inventor. He's made a gas furnace, okay, that runs off plastic, okay? You put your plastic in this furnace, it heats it up to like a couple of hundred degrees, and then melts it down and turns it into diesel that you can just pour right into your truck, okay? Or into your farm vehicles and things of that nature, or into your radiator at home, or into a Jenny. And generate your own electricity, your own power, and your own heat off of recyclable materials that don't get recycled in New Zealand. They just get shipped off to China to be recycled there. Imagine the air miles and the travel costs and the time it takes. It's insane. And he's done bazillions of inventions that are just as creative, just as incredible, that he holds patents to and all of that sort of stuff. And he's running a radio station that plays some of the most badass music. I was listening to it for about maybe only 30 minutes the other day, but every single song resonated with me as a truther. You'll be surprised, because a lot of songs are about resistance, about loss, about love, or about fracking the establishment, etc. And they have just a playlist that's just jam-packed full of those from all these different bands, all these different genres. All of it good music too. It's not like just some crappy dude like with some GMO laced hangover singing crapola through a microphone so we can bid for his golden record opportunity from Pop Idol or some crap like that. Talking about like the Prodigy and stuff like that. You know, good music, as well as playing the Vinnie Eastwood show. As well as having every hour a couple of spots and things like that with real information, okay? Like, you know how we have on the breaks at AmericanFreedomRadio.com the 1 minute of George Carlin, 1 minute of Bill Hicks, or one, you know, that kind of thing. Somebody who's either making you laugh or giving you a quick bit of information or summarizing an issue for you, just so if you're a general listener, it sounds kind of like an advertisement, but it's really not. It's actually helping you to wake up just hearing that once and then hearing it again and again. Repetition is an incredible form of waking people up, because if you hear the same thing, 9/11 was an inside job, from multiple sources, you start to believe it a heck of a lot quicker than if you are only hearing that same thing over and over again from the same source, okay? Put it all the way through. Okay, that's Roy Harlow and rushfm.co.nz. Give him a plug. And also, Thursday nights, last night, for instance, my very good friend, Vapi Kupinger, and she has a one-night-a-week show on Radio Wātea. That's Wātea, W-A-A-T-E-A 603am.co.nz or .com, I think. And she has similar topics that I discuss. In fact, I've co-hosted with her a number of times. And she is, her two biggest, I'd probably say three biggest issues. Māori, you know, the native people of New Zealand, how to relate to them, how everything works in relationship to Māori. Health. Okay, the medical scumbaggery and how to take care of your own health using simple diet and exercise and things of that nature, and global warming. These are three things that she's actually got a speciality in, but she has general knowledge across virtually every other topic. And she taught me two things as a radio show host. Number one, you have to listen. Okay, you have to listen specifically and ask questions of and become as familiar with as you can and treat individually each caller, not just your guests. Your callers are also just as important because they represent everybody who listens to you. Each and every person who calls in, there's likely 1,000 other people who would have called in and said the exact same thing who didn't. So you had best listen to your callers and ask them what they think about things. And what have you, and appreciate the fact that they call in. Thank them. And the other thing that she taught me is about relating information. Now, her audience is predominantly Māori. So what she does is she takes any of the information that I'm talking about and says, how does it affect Māori? How does it affect them? And relates it to them. And she keeps her Māori audience interested. Now, I've taken that interpretation of how do I make it relate to everybody on earth? Okay, because it's not just Māori who are screwed here by the New World Order. It's all of us. All of our native cultures, Native Americans, Native Indians, or even whatever. Anybody who is currently alive today needs to be able to relate to this information or what have you. And I think that the way to relate this type of stuff, I think, is just through your own personal experiences, being open and sharing and try to basically relate to people via what's already happened to you so that you actually know what you're talking about, because the system affects us all in much the same way, doesn't it? Very few of us have any stories that I haven't heard variants of when it comes to their wake up. They're either woken up by documentaries or being shafted over by the government, or they had a nice friend in high school or something like that whose parents were truthers and they talked about this sort of stuff, and you woke up about 10 years later after 9/11 happened or anything like that. Everybody's got a different story, but it's along the same vein. Okay, and I interpreted it like this. If your parents are establishment lovers, you'll likely be an establishment lover too, unless, of course, you rebel against your parents earlier on because of your social circumstances. Okay? If you, on the other hand, wake up of your own accord because you woke yourself up and you suddenly realize that, hey, if I just take responsibilities for my actions, stop blaming other people, and stop wanting to work and be a slave and start just taking care of myself instead, you wake up as well. There's a million ways to wake up, and they're trying a million ways to make you go back to sleep, and it's not working. So be happy, ladies and gentlemen. If you're awake today, hey, good on ya. Smiles on your dials, folks. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. If you want to come in, talk about whatever you want, listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Back in just a few minutes, folks.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone with us. Our aims are different.
Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com. I'm going to call her in, Jim from Brooklyn. I'll come to you in just a second, mate. Anybody else want to call in? 218-339-8525. Only two more segments left in it. Okay, yesterday I was thinking about the mainstream news reporters, and every single one of them that I've ever really talked to has turned out to be a bit of a dick, basically. So I said, dear mainstream news reporters, you have a job. You have to report what you're told to. I made my job. I can report on anything I want. I've got freedom. You do not. If you think you're free, let me ask you, what's that around your neck at the top of your shirt? It's a collar, right? And what about those things at the end of your sleeves? They're cuffs, aren't they? Whoa. Hold on a second. So, you're walking around with a collar around your neck and cuffs around your wrists, and you think you're not a slave. The real difference between you and me is I know I'm a slave, and I'm fighting to become free. You think that you're free, and you're fighting to remain a slave. Don't be part of the problem. Become part of the solution. When the media won't do their job, don't fight them. Just replace them. And believe me, your ratings are down. Mine are up. The media has lost all credibility. And you only taint yourself by reporting lies and spin. Know the truth that you are a slave. Tell the truth. And you shall be set free. Just think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody who's reporting in a suit, carrying a camera or a microphone, or repeating stuff that you've been told to say, or reporting on stuff that you've been told to report on, understand the truth. That you're not free. You're just as much of a slave as I am. You got a better suit? That's it. And I get to tell the truth. You don't. Jim from Brooklyn, welcome to the program. Jim, we can hear you.
Hey, Vinny, how you doing, man? You getting ready to take a break?
I'm really am approaching that stressful burnout stage at this long stint. I think it's been since January 3rd since I last had a break.
Yeah, well, you know what? You deal with some really dark issues on a daily basis, so it is bound to wear you down a little bit.
Well, you know how I'm trying to keep it chipper and cheery and smiley all the time and stuff like that? Well, I'm trying to do that for everybody else, because I know everybody else's life is hard, but my life's hard too, so occasionally I need somebody to be cheery and chipper for me.
I understand completely. I understand completely. I find myself in that situation a lot too, because I'm usually the guy that has like a joke for everybody and stuff. It's you know, you get frustrated with just the daily grind of life. And then after a while, you know, you need to, like, you know, maybe just take a trip. You know, disappear for a week to the other side of the island, or you know, the country or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I find I have to get out of New York every so often.
Well, I mean, New York. I mean, I can imagine that was a place you might want to escape from in the Kurt Russell sense of the word.
Yeah, it could be intense here. I mean, you know, you got. I think the city's something. It's between 8 and 9 million people, and
see, man, like, one city has
a big area. Twice,
that city has more than twice the population of my whole country, bro.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Like, you know, like about every other second, there's a car passing my window. And I live out in Brooklyn. I'm like in the, you know, it's like private houses mostly around here, but it's busy. And you take the subways every day. That'll really wear your nerves down.
Yeah. Well, see, I see these things, and I see everybody clustered together in these big cities, and I've never been to a big, densely packed city like New York or Tokyo or anything like that before. I mean, the biggest city I've ever visited is L.A., and basically you can't see how many people are there because the smog obscures anybody past 500 feet in front of you.
Yeah, and L.A. is very spread out.
Yeah.
It's spread out. You know, America's big. Like New York State is huge. It took me, I couldn't drive across New York State in a day. In like 8 hours, I was somewhere just past Buffalo. You know, just past Albany. You know, and then I turned west and I drove for another day. And it's big. So I don't know why they have to cram everybody in these little spaces.
Well, but, I know why. It's Agenda 21.
Well, speaking of Agenda 21, I found some more. I know how you like the sci-fi. I found a new show that I'm guessing it came out in the 60s. It's it's like early stop motion animation. It's called Captain Scarlet, right? Yeah. And this is total. There's like this. You know, Captain Scarlet's like this indestructible super agent, and there's like these aliens that are taking their revenge by assassinating the world president.
Yeah.
And then they're flying, they have like the jets flying around with these like French female fighter pilots, and they're just blowing up bridges randomly. Like, but it's real, you could really see the whole New World Order in it. And this is like something from the 60s.
Well, yeah, and think about what's it called, Buck Rogers. I've never seen this show, but I've heard it referenced by a lot of people who are my elders, and apparently it was like a show during the 20s where they were talking about laser guns and time travel and spaceships and all of that kind of stuff, and that stuff that they were imagining back then in the 20s and whatever, it's 2012 now, baby. We actually have all that stuff. So when you start telling people that there's all this other crazy surveillance technology and blah 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 blah, and they say, "Oh, you're Buck Rogers or something," mate, that was like 90 years ago that they came up with the ideas for this stuff. You think we don't have that stuff already?
Oh yeah, some of these franchises, right? Some of these sci-fi franchises are very very old. Like you mentioned, Buck Rogers. Another one that's very, very old is Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon's from the 30s, too. It was a movie called Rocket Ship. And you don't even realize, if you're not paying it, like I had it on, and I just had it on in the background with some music playing. I didn't realize I was watching Flash Gordon until Ming the Merciless showed up. And, like, you know Ming the Merciless when you see him. It's Ming the Merciless. It's like, holy cow, Ming the Merciless.
Ming, my man.
Yeah, Ming's the man, you know. He's one of those. He's one of those bad guys you root for. You don't know why.
Like the man in the black civil rights sense of the word. He's the man.
Yeah. I mean, look. You know, if you're gonna have good sci-fi, you need an interesting bad guy. If the bad guy's boring, it's just not going to work.
Well, see, and my sister bought me the Flash Gordon DVD the other day, and you know when you watch movies that you've seen before becoming a truther and stuff like that, and it's like you're watching a whole different movie the second time around. The amount of Illuminati symbolism and all the storylines and everything like that, the evil, the weather control. But having a device to control the weather and things of that nature, and then it comes out that in the 70s that they were developing all that HAARP technology, and even Tesla was working on it in the 30s and 20s and 40s, and oh my god, these people have no creativity whatsoever. They can't even imagine anything. The only thing that they can imagine is stuff that they've already got that somebody else has already invented. And that's why I'm of the opinion that there is no more creativity in Hollywood left. Okay, why do you think everything's a sequel or a prequel? Because they ain't got any ideas. They have that same old idea. The New World Order is going to enslave all of us, transhumanism, Agenda 21, and beyond that, there ain't much of a storyline. That's all that sci-fi is.
It's New World Order programming. Every single thing of it. You know, once you know what you're looking at, it's kind of like a diamond cutter or something like that. He knows just by the look of it with one of those little spyglass thingies that those diamond guys have. You know, he knows when he's looking at this diamond just how perfect it is. He knows exactly how much it's worth because it's his job to know. Right now, when Truth is watch any mainstream Hollywood film, that symbolism and all of that stuff that we know is going on is so glaringly obvious to us, nobody else notices. You know? And I'm not sure whether or not to be happy or frustrated by that fact, to tell you the truth, Jim. Because I could either be happy that I know what I'm watching, or I think I'd either be frustrated that other people don't. And I think I'd rather choose to be happy than frustrated, don't you think? Maybe that's a better idea. Jim, we can't hear you. You seem to have dropped off there. So in that case, I'll just kind of thank you for your call. But this is the interesting thing. Also, I wanted to reiterate the other what I said a day or two ago about the Green Lantern, the new Green Lantern film kind of thing come out. How what's her name? One of these ladies, they get one of the aliens that gave the Green Lantern his Green Lantern powers, his ring kind of thing. And they're saying, well, this is our first alien contact, despite what the conspiracy theorists will have you believe. And so they do the analysis of the alien. They put all that data onto a hard drive and pass it to the lady. And what's that hard drive got stuck on the front of it? A giant green all-seeing eye of the Illuminati surrounded with a circle of five-pointed pentagrams. And it's in the middle of the shot, like the focus of the camera is that hard drive with the all-seeing Illuminati eye in front of it. It is not an accident, okay? Anybody who knows anything about filmmaking knows 100% of the time that nothing gets in the focal point of the camera that is by accident. It is deliberate. No set piece is put in place by accident. No floor design or camera angle from up above to make sure that you can see the floor happens by accident. No camera angle coming from below the actors and looking up at the ceiling happens by accident. Filmmaking is a meticulous, deliberate art form. There is no wiggle room when you see Illuminati symbolism in the movies that you watch. Your filmmaker, or at the very least the producer, if not some of the actors and the script writers and everybody involved, knows exactly what is going on and they will not talk about it. They're putting all these symbols out there. Neuro-linguistic programming. If you want to see the future, we'll show it to you. We'll show it to you in full HD living quality. We'll give you these fantasy romps so that when you see it for real, doesn't seem that surprising. I've seen this before. You know, oh, I'm familiar with it now. It's okay. It's fine. You know, I mean, imagine when RoboCop came out. And they were talking about OCP, the Omni Computer Products, literally buying a police force. And then nowadays, you talk about places up in, I'm not sure which state this happened in. It might have been Illinois or Wisconsin. But the police force has been privatized in this town. And they're private officers driving around in these big Mercedes black SUVs kind of thing. Right? It's the same thing. And also the whole element of robotics in RoboCop as well. And at the time, people just, robotics aren't anywhere near that advanced. And guess what? Pentagon comes out and says that by the year 2020, the vast majority of all U.S. conflicts and wars that are fought at all will be fought using robots only. Robots and drones. That's it. Okay. Maybe if you're real lucky, you might have a human who's being transported by an automatic troop carrier. Okay? That's if you're lucky. Most of the time, it'll just be somebody behind maybe a screen 1,000 miles away who just goes, oh, there's movement over there. It's a child with her mother. Bang! blow up the whole village. Hellfire missile. Yeah! Score one for the team! There's blood spurting out all over their women and children. Ma, I'm going to take another acid tab before I go up in the C-130 with a giant, massive bolts of lightning that I can chuck down from the sky like I'm a god. Yeah. Man. Murder Incorporated. That's what war is. When you take the human out of war, you take the emotional and conscience out of it as well. That's why you got all these people blowing up people for no reason, like a turkey shoot. Yeah, because they've had their conscience taken away from them. They're not there, are they? Not really. And if that doesn't help at all, giving them a drone to fly, then why don't we just pump them up on Prozac and then get surprised as one of the side effects, which is homiciding heaps of people, actually happens in small villages abroad, and we start burning Qurans to try and make up for it. You know, we're insane, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't we just start waking up? We'll be right back. Find you. Do you know what a control grid is? It's a place where we can all be free and then get instantly enslaved by it. That's what the control grid is. This internet that I'm broadcasting across now, this is part of the control grid. Cell phone that I use to receive text messages from people inviting me out to protest, part of the control grid too. Imagine what happens the day when they decide that those who basically don't like the system are fighting against it, speaking out against it, they turn off your access to the grid. Do you think there'd be a Vinnie Eastwood show? No. I'd barely know about anybody's protesting. Wouldn't be able to upload anything. I'd be dead, you know, dead in the water, because they'd take away my primary weapon that I've been used against them, and they got me addicted to it. And it's the only way I can do it anyway. So they got me addicted to something I've got no option about. Okay? That is the crux of the problem that we've got here facing society, ladies and gentlemen. We're plugged into this control grid, and the only way to destroy the control grid is to use it against itself. Okay? But it's still a control grid, and it can still be switched off at any time the elite choose. Okay? Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are or anything like that. As long as you're using the control grid, you can be controlled, okay? And that's part of the thing about having your money and stuff all digital now these days, because then they can just close your bank account remotely. You're fracked, okay? You know, unless you got cash and gold and silver and everything like that in a big safe at home or whatever, with surveillance and about 12 firearms or whatever that you keep hunkered down with your 15 years of dried food and heart and body extract, you know. This is the thing that we have to deal with. It's like we're not paranoid in the truth, but well, most of us aren't anyway, because we really are being followed. We really are being surveilled. We really are being poisoned. We really are being scammed. We really are being shafted, okay? Everybody else who isn't aware of the New World System is also suffering under that same effect, except they're completely unaware of it, so it's fine. And once you do become aware of it, you choose to be stressed about it. Well, the fact of the matter is, it's actually still all fine. Everything's exactly the same as it was before you woke up. The fact is that now you're aware of it, okay? So think about this. Think about how stressed you were before you became a truther with everything. It wasn't really all that stressful, come to think of it, was it? You know, they had fun every day and talking to your family, and you know, it was all good. But as soon as you start talking about, you know, the New World Order to them and what have you, oh, that's not very nice. That's not going to be good for the family table conversation. You're going to be ostracized out of society, and you're going to go nuts and withdraw into yourself. and you'll think that there's no other truthers out there that you can actually be proper friends with. You start to become really lonely, and the voices at the end of the radio are your only friends, and you've never even talked to them, and they're not really your friends because they don't even know who you are. Uh-huh. Being a truth is tough, man, and life is tough all over. Okay, it's one of my favorite quotes from the movie Watchmen. Things are tough all over, Cupcake. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. And the past, even the grimy parts of it, just keep getting brighter. As the future, even the shiny parts of it, keep getting darker. Very interesting way of looking at things. You will never be able to avoid entirely suffering. Okay? You can't do it. It's part of the human condition. You've got to suffer, you've got to grow, you've got to learn. Okay? Anybody who thinks that they shouldn't have to suffer or grow or learn is out of their freaking minds. Okay? Just like people who think that you should be a mind reader. Okay? I shouldn't have to tell you to take off your shoes to come in my house. Sorry, mate, I haven't been in your house before. I don't know what the rules are. If you've got a bunch of these rules that you're clinging to that you think are really important, then why don't you tell other people how important these rules are to you before getting angry about me breaking these rules that I didn't know exist? Okay? Everybody's putting these arbitrary conditionalities on everybody else. And they're basically, I keep the bar really, really low for a good reason. Because it allows people to be accepted. It allows me to keep listening to them and ask them questions honestly. Okay? The difficulty with most people is that they're afraid to wear their heart on their sleeves because they've been hurt before. I've been hurt before, but I still continue to wear my heart on my sleeve because I know if I don't, I'm just going to wind up hurting myself even worse, and I'm going to do it on a daily basis instead of once in a while when somebody takes advantage and screws me over. And as I grow and as I get screwed over more, I develop more discernment. Ah, that's the kind of person that screws me over. This is how their eyes move. That's how the body language works. This is how they talk. This is how they manipulate conversations. This is how they go behind your back, etc., etc., etc. You know what's going on there at any particular point. After you've been shafted one too many times, you don't want to mix with those people anymore. Okay, you're protecting yourself. A smart idea, man. Protect yourself. But by all means, don't protect yourself by attacking others. It doesn't work. Okay? Assuming that you know somebody just because of a few little aspects of their characters or behaviors or anything like that is just as silly as assuming you know somebody about something, assuming you know anybody at all. Okay? Trust me. It doesn't matter who you think you know, you don't know them at all. It's impossible, at least my own opinion, it's impossible to get to know somebody's entirety, okay? Namely because you simply don't have time, okay? If you were to sit there and have somebody's entire life recited to you, learn all the lessons they learned in their entire life, from the school to the first job and all of that kind of, like, going through the whole cycle. Hey, it's too long, man. I don't have enough time. And we have to, a lot of times, just kind of go on faith, you know? I have a lot of faith in other people, and other people seem to have faith in me as a result. Isn't that funny? It's called a reciprocal relationship. Isn't it? Yeah, you do something for me, I'll do something for you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's cooperation. That's how we're supposed to work. That's actually how we work best. If you have a good, strong partner who trusts in you, you can trust in them, there's very little that can drive you apart. This is why if you're in a flatting situation, you never pick a fight with a couple. Okay, you never get couples as flatmates, okay, because they will always back each other up, particularly when they're wrong, which makes it impossible to be the head tenant because you're outnumbered. Okay, arguments, human conflict, it's a nature of life. Get over it. You're never, ever, 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 ever going to be able to purge all of it from your life whatsoever. You can figure out how to deal with it, sure. Okay. But anybody who thinks that I'm going to do this, anybody who's trying to like make decisions, like cut off decisions, I'll never do that again, or la 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 la, Are you making decisions without action, backing it up and reinforcing it and growing to that point kind of thing? I mean, it's taken me a long time to figure out what I don't want in my life, and I'm still figuring out other stuff that I don't want. I'm still figuring out things that I do want. I'm still figuring out who I am. I'm still figuring out who my friends are. I'm still figuring out who my helpers are, who my detractors are, who my enemies are. I'm still figuring it out. And it's actually quite fun. Yeah, man. Life is an incredible experience. It's really cool because there's so many different things you can do. I mean, think about it. You've got access to the internet. Name me one piece of information that you can't actually access. If you really wanted to go and try and Googling and all of that sort of stuff, if you want to learn about anything or meet anybody, you bloomin' well can. As long as you try. As long as you get off your ass and do something. That's what I've got to encourage everybody to do. All right? You've got to either A, get off your ass and do something. Right? Or B, help somebody else who's doing what you wish you could be doing, or something that you wish was being done, okay? Because I can assure you that I'm doing something here in New Zealand which many New Zealanders have tried. Not a single one of them has had even the remotest success in doing what I'm doing easily, okay? So they show up and support me. And so they should, because for flux sake, I have been busting my hump for years. And the vast majority of people that I've done interviews for or put on the internet or anything like that, the vast majority of activists have not given me a cent. In some cases, the best I can hope for is just, thanks, Vinny. Because as far as they're concerned, I'm just doing my job, okay? They think, I'm doing my job, I'm being an activist, I'm going out there, I'm doing the protests, I'm making the signs, I'm organizing all that stuff. It's my job, and I'm doing it. And that is how it is, okay? They do their job, I do mine. We don't have to pay each other. We don't have to fall all over each other and say, oh, aren't you great, you're doing all this stuff, and blah, blah, blah. We don't even need to encourage each other most of the time. All we need to do is work alongside one another, never screw each other over, never tell people that you shouldn't follow that person or shouldn't listen to them, or stab each other in the back, or spread rumors, or hack into their caller lines, or stuff like that, or insult them, or abuse them, or send them text messages at 9:30 at night saying, Vinny, I think you're a fracking spy, as has happened to me. Stop doing that, people. Work together. Your blimmin' ego is the only thing that's going to defeat you. The New World Order have a bigger ego than you. So if you try to match them with it, you're going to have to go all in. And I can guarantee you, you will lose everything. Be a good friend. Be a good truther. Be a real human thief. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll see you again sometime, folks.